It's good to see everybody we have out with us today, and we're just thankful for your presence on this cold morning. We hope and pray that you'll be blessed for being here today. Do you know anybody that's a do-it-yourselfer? Do you know what do-it-yourselfers are? Do-it-yourselfers are people that when something goes wrong, they try to fix it themselves. The first thing they think about is, I'll do this, you know. The light switch goes out, they go try to replace the light switch. The light goes out, they try to fix the light. And I've seen some people that were not do-it-yourselfers at all. You know, a woman called me one time about, said, the light in the bathroom don't work. All I had to do was change the bulb. You know, a do-it-yourselfer would take care of things like that. You do it for yourselfer, he'll go out and cut his own grass, and when his car breaks, he's out there trying to fix his car. He may not know necessarily what he's doing, but he's trying to fix it. A do-it-yourselfer, he hates calling on somebody else. First thing he does, he tries to do it himself. Sometimes it costs him more money. Sometimes it takes longer to get it done. But he's trying to do it, and sometimes, you know, some are better at that than others, but some of them, they call them jack-of-all-trades, but all they are just do-it-yourselfers. They're trying to do it. But there's times that you need somebody beyond your own ability. You know, like if you get sick, really sick, you know, you try to doctor yourself, but after a while you have to go see somebody who knows more, like a doctor. Or you have to have surgery, you have to hire somebody to work on your car. There are things beyond our abilities to do, and we have to get somebody else to help us with those things. But the do-it-yourselfer, he's out there trying to do it himself to start with. But in the spiritual realm, Christians, are they do-it-yourselfers? When it comes to dealing with God and spiritual matters, in fact, we have to be do-it-yourselfers. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, I want to start reading here in verse 21. He said, "Not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto you, I have renewed you, depart from me, you that work iniquity." But I want to submit to you that you have to do the will of God yourself. You can't go out and hire a specialist to do that for you. You have to do the will of God yourself. No one else can take that place for you. He goes on here and he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And it rained, descended, and floods came, and wind blew and beat upon that house, and they fell not. For it's founded upon a rock, and everyone heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a foolish man." Shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, the priest, the preacher, cannot do it for you. You have to be a do-it-yourself. You have to do it yourself. There's only one mediator between us and God, and that's Jesus Christ. No one else comes between that. No one else intercedes there. It says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." He is the only one we go through. I know one time I was in a Bible study not too far from here. Some people were talking to me about, we studying about the return of Christ. And I pointed out some scriptures to them, showed the Word of God to them. And then their preacher called me and said, "What are you doing down there studying with these people? They meet with us." I said, "I'm just trying to show them the truth." And he told me not to go back. I said, "Well, as long as they want me back in their house, I go back." Well, I went back down there, you know, and then they said, "You know, we don't want you to come back and study with us anymore because this man, he's like Moses. He's between us and God. Whatever he says, that's what we're going to do, and he's kind of between us and God." But you see, the Bible says there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no man on this earth that can fulfill that position. If he's between you and God, then he's interfering between you and God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Jesus Christ is the only one. And He is going to be our judge. In Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we see we're going to give account of who? Ourselves. I'm not going to give an account for you before God. You're not going to give an account for me before God. There's not going to be some priest or some bishop or somebody to intercede there to give an account for us before God. We give an account of ourselves. We are the do-it-yourselfers, you see. We cannot hire anyone to pray for us, study for us, preach for us, sing for us, give for us, or attend church services for us. We must be do-it-yourselfers. We do it ourselves. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with wisdom, with meekness and wisdom. You say, don't show forth whose work? His work. We cannot hire professionals to do that for us. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and the reward is with me, if every man according to his work shall be. When I stand before God, I stand on my own. When you stand before God, you're going to stand on your own. Our prayers are our own prayers. Our faith is our own faith. We have to own it ourselves. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to believe in God and come before him ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now think about this. It's not concerning somebody else. It's concerning me, and it's concerning you. That's personal. Our prayers are ours. We cannot get somebody to pray in our stead and us not have to pray. Sure, there are times we need someone to pray with us and for us to help us in our prayers. And I do a lot of praying for people. But frankly, if they're not praying, my prayer is no good anyway. I'm only assisting them in their prayers. We cannot go out and find a special person or somebody who's skilled in prayer to pray for us and to take the place of our prayer. There are times when our prayers are hindered because of sin. There are times that because of sin we need someone to pray for us. And because of sickness and problems we have in the flesh, sometimes we need someone to pray for us. We read the Bible in Acts chapter 8 by a man named Simon the sorcerer, and he committed sin, and Peter said, I perceive that thou art a gall of bitterness and abundant iniquity. And he told him to repent and pray that God would forgive him of the intents of his heart. And this man says to Peter, pray for me. And that agrees with James chapter 5. Turn to James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, start reading verse 13. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. You see, when it's time to pray, we need to be praying ourselves. If any among you sick, in other words, if his first prayers were not enough and did not agree to it, then it continues in sickness, then he can call somebody, gets more, gets worse. He says, any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and then rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converted, let him know that he was converted to sinner from the earth's place, shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And what we see as we look at this, you don't see that there is a prayer man of the church. He said, call for the elders. The elders are the leadership of the church are those that are in charge of those things. But, you know, we ought to pray one for another. Finally, says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. And so we can confess faults or problems to each other and pray one for another. But we don't have a specialized man of prayer. And we hold him up and say, this is the guy. When you need prayer, you call him. When we need prayer, we can ask either one of us to help each other in our prayers. And certainly, we need to be praying. And when we come to singing, God wants you to sing. He wants me to sing. If we went out and hired as a man to be our singers, and they got up here with my band or without band, it don't matter. And they did all the singing, and we sat in church and listened. While they sang, we all sat there and we were entertained. This is not God's will. This is not pleasing to God. For God wants you to sing as well as He wants me to sing. Just like with our prayers, it's an individual thing that we do. Ephesians 5:19, he says, feed it to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we sing, I'm singing, making melody in my heart. You're singing, making melody in your heart. We cannot get someone to do this for us. No one can take our place in that. He cannot make melody in his heart for you. Choir cannot do that. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We must do these things ourselves. We cannot just sit back and be entertained. Call that church. Neither can we hire somebody to do our studying for us and our research for us and our learning for us. You know, we can't sit and say, well, you know, he knows. He knows. And so because he knows, I'm okay. No. We must read and learn about God, Jesus Christ for ourselves. We need to be do-it-yourselfers. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. In Ephesians chapter 3. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto these sons of men, as the men are revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We need to study God's Word. Meditate on it. Read it. Search out to see its meaning. When you read the Bible, read it as though this is God speaking to me. For it is. It's God speaking to me. And when you read it, it's God speaking to you. That's the intended message. It's personal. No one can do that for you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word truth. He says, study and show yourself, thyself approved, not somebody else. Yourself. We may ask someone to help us sometimes with things we don't understand, but we cannot place a responsibility on that person. He's not responsible for our learning. We are. We are to develop and to grow that we'll be able to teach ourselves. Hebrews 5:12, so it says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You see, we're responsible to ourselves to grow and make sure we nourish and grow and learn the Word of God. He says in Peter, says this in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere medical word that you may grow thereby. You cannot lay that responsibility on anybody else. It's my responsibility to see it to it that I learn and understand the will of God. Sometimes we might need some help. Like Philip, when that man, that eunuch, tried to hold that chair, he said he didn't understand. And Philip, when he called a ride with him, asked me to understand what he's reading. He said, how can I sit something and help me? And he helped him to understand. He's talking about Jesus Christ. His understanding was opened up to him that he could see and understand. So we can ask someone to help us understand the Word, to understand, but it's our responsibility for our growth in Christ, not somebody else's. And when we look at this, the church is responsible for its own teaching. It's not pleasing to God to hire a man to be our preacher any more than it is to hire a man to be our singer, or our prayer, or our communioner, or our chemist, whatever. The Bible teaches that the church has different abilities in it, and everybody has to use his ability in the way that he can. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And that saying, you may all prophesy one by one at a time, that all may learn, all of us here learn, and all may be confident. So all of the teachers who are able to teach can teach. They need to be given opportunity to do their part in the teaching. You don't read anywhere in the New Testament about a man that's hired and he does the preaching every Sunday. You don't read anywhere in the New Testament about a man that is the preacher of the church, or the bishop of the church, or the priest of the church. You don't find that. We're all Christians together. And we're all on the same plane. If you have an ability in a certain area to be used for the glory of God, we're responsible to God for the teaching. In Acts 13:1, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, teachers as Barnabas, and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, men which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There are five people who took part in the teaching and the preaching of that church. Five of them. And each one took their turn. Each one had their opportunity in the pulpit. You don't read about the preacher or the priest. It's not there. We're all to use our talents and abilities in the church to bring glory to God, and whatever abilities we might even have and can develop by God. Matthew 25, we'll begin to read in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, which called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received of one the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said unto his the Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou knowest that I reap where I sow mine and gather where I have not sowed. Thou knowest therefore that I put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. There's several lessons in that, but one thing we see, we know he's talking about money, but the same thing will apply in your ability of the life of the things that you have that are given to you naturally, that you're born with. You are to develop those and to use those for the glory of God. You can't just say, well, I cannot do, and if you don't do, then you lose that what you have. But if you put it to use and use what you have, you gain more. And you can do more. We can't sit back and expect and wait on somebody else to do those things for us. When it comes to spiritual matters, there's only one that's between us and God. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only person we need to go between us and God. He died for us. And he can go beyond and above what a man can do. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who is it that makes intercession for us? It is Jesus Christ. Our salvation depends upon our response to what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we must respond to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We must not be ashamed of it. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as you first and also the Greek. This gospel is so simple. It's simple enough that anybody can learn and understand and obey. It's not complex. It doesn't take a lawyer to explain it to you. It is very simple. The problems we have in understanding these days in our life and our society is because of all the false teachings and all the other things that bombard us daily. Because if you just consider what's in the Bible, in the gospel of Christ, it is really simple. The salvation is really simple. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it said, but I fear lest any man, as the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, that's what causes it not to be simple. It's because we've been beguiled, like Eve was. The gospel is simple. It's simpler than anybody can understand. Anybody could learn it and obey it. And it doesn't require us to have some special person to do that for us. Some special person to open up our understanding. No, it's up to each individual as to what he does with Jesus Christ and his gospel. He did not die to make it difficult to understand, to make it hard for somebody to know what to do to have salvation. He didn't die to make it that way. He'd come to save all people. The rich, the poor, the learned, and the unlearned. The gospel has to be simple. But we have to do it ourselves. You have to hear and believe yourself. No one can do that for you. You have to make your own confession. You must confess with your mouth your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior and as your need. And when it comes to repentance, that you have to take care of yourself also. I cannot repent for you. You cannot repent for me. Then that act of baptism which puts us into Christ. It is so personal. It is so individualized. Turn to Romans 6. We'll start reading verse 3. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's pretty simple. But there are people that will come along and say, that word baptism there is spiritual. It has nothing to do with the water. Well, the eunuch was right on and said, see, here's water. What does it mean to be baptized? And then Peter said to him in Cornelius' household, he said, if any man forbid water, that he should not be baptized. The scripture says that baptism involves water. The word baptized would mean the same thing every place you saw it. God's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to fool us. Here in Romans chapter 6, you see, the baptism he's talking about here is in water, but the Spirit's involved. It is where the spiritual birth takes place. A man walks in newness of life. You know, that's personal. You have to do it yourself. I can't walk for you in that newness of life. You've got to walk for yourself. You can't hire a preacher to do it. You can't get a priest to do it. You can't get anybody to do it. You've got to do it yourself. We as Christians, we are do-it-yourselfers in the spiritual realm. Now, there's some things we can't do that Jesus Christ did. There are some things beyond our abilities. Just like I couldn't operate on myself. But Christ, He does that. Christ takes care of all the things beyond our abilities to do. He is our interceder. He is our mediator. He is our go-between between us and God. He's all we need. And if you're here today, and you're subject to God's call, we give you this opportunity. It is but an opportunity. It's one opportunity to make things right with God. If you need your prayers and the bread and the church, by confessing your fault for another, we'll pray with you, Father. And if you're here and you need to be born into the kingdom through baptism, you come with a believing heart, with a repentant heart, and confessing faith in Christ, we'll take care of that and baptize you into Jesus Christ. If you're here today, instead of the gospel calling either way, we urge you to come and let it be known that we stand and say it.